Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. You've joined an important conversation for Fabric about what it means to be together. It has some elements that might feel surprising, like how it's not about dissolving a sense of self for the sake of the collective, but rather how the deep connection of loving and being with others demands we bring the truest, boldest version of ourself we can. In this episode, Greg Meyer prods each of us to look at the broader landscape and explore our unique opportunity to offer something to the world.
Good morning, Fabric. Good to see you all here. Welcome to anybody who's new with us today. Welcome to those on the live stream or listening on the podcast later. We're glad you're part of what we're all about, however you're doing it. We are talking about togethering. That is that art, that hard work, that gift, that wonder of, you know, trying to be together, which is all the more important at a time when, you know, they tell us we are more connected than we have ever been in human history, but at the same time, we're also reporting higher levels of loneliness than have ever been measured since they've been measuring such things. And so, you know, this is an important time to be talking about what it means for us to be together. And today and next week, we are talking about what together can accomplish and kind of how that happens, you know. And we're doing it even specifically talking about how this togethering, how this community thing works as us as Fabric, as a community. And partly because the stuff that applies to us specifically as Fabric also pretty much applies to the other places that we, you know, the other versions of together, the other versions of community that we're a part of. So I think it all makes an awful lot of sense. So here it is. As Fabric, we are part of something much, much bigger than just ourselves. We are bigger than our own community. The word that I would like to use for what we are is church, right? But, you know, but not a church. We are not a church, we are church. Church is not something you go to, it isn't something you belong to, it isn't a building, it isn't a denomination, it's not an hour or two on the week. Church is what you are, it's what I am, it's what we are together. So, you know, that's an important thing to do. In fact, if I was trying to put like a definition of church together into one sentence, I would probably say something like people who see themselves as part of a larger movement that spans time and space, spans time and geography, and is committed to the weaving of the three strands of self and others and of God, which is sort of the shorthand way of talking of that thing, which is way too big for any name to ever really quite contain, but committed to the weaving of those three strands together in life-giving ways. I mean, that's what church is. That is church. Now, I like to be clear about that because church has, that word church has a lot of baggage that goes with it, and not all of it is so good, right? I mean, so we need to re-understand that. We need to be thinking about that a little bit freshly. But anyway, as that kind of church, Fabric has a couple of jobs, right? In fact, Fabric has two jobs, and that's it, right? One is we have the job of creating a healthy community, right? That's one, creating a healthy community. The other is loving the world. I mean, kind of tritely put, but I mean, that's kind of what we are. We are here to create a healthy community so that we can love the world. Now, it's important to note that these two roles of creating a healthy community and of loving the world do not compete with each other. In fact, they complete each other. That's how it all works. These two roles of being church are interrelated, and together they make a whole. There's something missing without the other half. And this is something that I think the original idea, concept of church, was very, very clear about from the very beginning. In fact, the New Testament, which is a part of the Bible that talks about the life of Jesus, and then sort of the evolution, the appearance of church in those first decades after the life of Jesus. I mean, church didn't always exist. It's something that grew out of the movement that Jesus started. As they started doing it, they used two words in the New Testament to refer to church. And one is koinonia, which roughly translates as fellowship or community, all right? And that's the inward-facing aspect of church, trying to create that healthy community. And then the other word that is used for church is ecclesia, which literally means called out. That is the outward side looking at the church. The church has both those identities, the one that looks inward to create that healthy community, and the other one that says we have a role beyond ourselves, a bigger purpose in the world other than just ourselves. Now, building that healthy community and loving the world, like I said, they neither compete nor are they an either or. They're not a choice you have to make. Are we going to serve ourselves or are we going to serve other people? It isn't about that. In fact, they need to be together. They are the fullness of a living body when they function together. I mean, that's how it works. We grow, we get healthy, so that we can contribute to the world and those around us so that they can grow and they can be healthy, making it an environment that is better for us so that we can grow and we can be more healthy and we can continue to contribute to the world in bigger and better ways. And the circle, in fact, I wouldn't call it a circle, the spiral keeps going. That's the vision of church from the very earliest times. And it's how things work, right? I mean, that's how nature works. And yes, we are part of nature. Trees, plants, animals, insects, bacteria, they all grow, they all function in ways that, you know, helps them grow, helps them be healthy, but they are also in many, many ways, many of them almost invisible, they are contributing to the world around them so that their environment is more robust, so that other things succeed, and then they are able to grow and continue that going. They give, and what they give builds others, which gives back to the giver. Trees are a great example of it. Trees, like all living things, are a collection of systems. Some that work on building up the tree, making it strong, making it healthy. Some where the tree gives to the world around it so that the world around it is a better place for that tree to grow, right? Focusing on both of those aspects of it. Such a big community that surrounds a tree and that the tree is in itself as well. I mean, you know, some of those systems too that are more complicated, like photosynthesis and, you know, oxygen being given off and carbon dioxide being brought in and what a tree does to build the soil around it so that the soil is more fertile so that the tree can grow, but then other things can as well. I mean, it all is there. So this mutuality of growing healthy as a community so that we can give back to the world so that it can be more healthy and it can grow and expand and make the world a better place for us and others to grow so that then we can give. And like I said, that circle continues. But that begs the question, so then what about you? And what about me? I mean, what is your part in all of that? And it's actually pretty simple. And that is that you have a unique and you have an indispensable role to play in helping us be a healthy community and helping us love the world. And that's what it is. Your part is based on the fact that you do have something to offer. I don't care how great you are or how broken you might feel. I don't care whether you think you are full of gifts and wonders and talents or if you think you are deeply flawed. You are indispensable. You have a role to play. And it isn't only, well, the good part of me can do it and we'll kind of forget about the tough parts of my life. No, some of those tough parts of your life, they may be some of your best qualifications for playing that role in the world. You just don't really quite know how that's going to happen now. And maybe you do see it already. So the point is this, that, and this is on your Sunday papers, that you are uniquely shaped to make a contribution. We say this a lot here at the Fabric. You are uniquely shaped to make a contribution. You have a role to play that only you can play, both in our work amongst ourselves and in the world around us. And making that contribution isn't just you paying your dues. This isn't just you giving instead of getting. It isn't like this only a self-sacrifice sort of thing. No, this is reciprocity. This is a mutuality of giving to the world and receiving from it as we are all tied together. If you're only going to hear one thing that I say today, this may be it for you. And that is, I hope you would live with this and try to discover how it can be true in your life. And it's simply this. Giving of yourself can be the greatest gift that you can ever give to yourself. Countercultural. But I think there's something in our hearts that knows that it's true as soon as we hear it. Now, I remember a pivotal moment in figuring this out for myself. I was just a little kid, probably early grade school. And in those days, I watched a fair amount of TV, which was kind of amazing because we only had two channels and we were not among the social elite with color TVs. We had a black and white TV. But one thing that hasn't changed is when you watch a lot of TV, you saw a lot of commercials and you learned to want a lot of stuff. For me in particular, it was the Tiger Tank. The Tiger Tank was so cool. Yeah, there it is. That I had to really dig through Google's archives to find a picture of it. It's this Mungo tank, kind of, you know, non-PC these days, but you have to remember, like, I grew up just after the Napoleonic Wars, and this was kind of, you know, this sort of stuff. It was remote-controlled, and it would drive around and shoot these plastic missiles, I think. I never actually saw one, but it would do that, and, you know, the remote control worked, like, as far as 10 feet away, because that's how long the cord was for the remote control. And it did all these kind of things. It was powered by like 48 D-cell batteries. You probably don't know what a D-cell battery is, but they're these really big batteries. Everything used in those days, they're about the size of the hot water heater in your basement. And if you didn't push them too hard, they would go like up to 30 minutes. They were pretty amazing. Anyway, when I say I wanted this. I remember a scene with my mom, almost like I remember it so vividly, even though I was probably only seven, picturing myself lying on the floor, begging my mom for this Tiger tank, and I could not budge her. In fact, I remember she wouldn't even humor me enough to look at me, and I just begged her for it, and it was only $49.99, which in those days was about 2 years' salary, but, you know, and I could not get her to give me what I wanted. Now, the point of the story isn't that I didn't get the Tiger tank, but I didn't like wanting the Tiger tank that much. I felt awful about it, at least afterwards. Even though it was abundantly clear that I was not going to get a Tiger tank, I still wanted it. But I didn't like wanting it. If I got it, my life would not be transformed. Yeah, it would be fun. Yeah, my friends would be jealous, but it would pretty soon just be another toy, and I would just still be Greg. I was not designed to get. You are not designed to get. Our fulfillment does not come from getting. Our fulfillment does not come from filling ourselves. Our fulfillment comes from filling others. And you are uniquely shaped to make a contribution, not to be a consumer. Now, that is not a new idea, but I kind of think we've forgotten it, at least here in the Western world. We're just starting to remember about the reciprocity that we have with this planet that we live on. The fact, you know, that we can't just keep getting from this planet, and it can keep giving to us without it, you know, somehow falling apart. We're just starting to realize that we need to be a part of it, like the rest of nature is, and the rest of nature has been doing all along. In fact, I find it really interesting that we think we human beings are advanced and the rest of nature is kind of primitive, but the rest of nature is the one that realizes it needs to participate in the systems with reciprocity in order to continue, and we're the ones that are finding that we don't know how to live with this world without destroying the thing that we rely on. The Bible was trying to be clear about this all along. I mean, at the very, very beginning of the Bible, this creation story that's trying to tell us, not a historical, not a scientific sort of thing, but trying to tell us what our relationship with this world and with each other and with God is all about. Well, and it tells us this. It says in the very beginning that it is our job to till and to keep. That was Adam and Eve are put in the garden to till and to keep it. To till it, to use it. To keep it, to care for it. Those two have to be together. If you can't care for how you're using it, then you weren't using it in a way that made sense. Till it and keep it. Abraham, whom we talked about a lot for the last bunch of weeks when we were talking about hope, remember he had this promise that he was given and that he was chasing all along. But that huge, huge promise was given him. Well, listen to how it was told, right? Yahweh, I am who I am, God, says this to him. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I mean, that sounds really, really cool, right? But why? But there's a so what, or a so that. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Not to make you really cool, not to make you on top of everything, not to make you put you in the position where you can only get and not have to give, but so that you can be a blessing. Now, just like Fabric has work to do within and beyond itself, so do you. And that brings us to the packet of M&Ms that you got a little while ago. If you already ate it, that's okay. If you want to eat them now, that's okay too. Okay? The whole point of this is to help you think about your M&Ms, right? We talk about these here at Fabric, your M&Ms. The two M's stand for your ministry within Fabric and your mission beyond it. Ministry and mission. We all have our M&Ms. And so that ministry that each of us has helps us be a healthy, robust community. And then the mission, that's our love at work in the world. And I want to focus on that second M this morning for just a little bit, and that is your mission in the world. First of all, mission. What is that? So the word mission comes from Latin. It means to be sent out. That's literally what it means. It means to be sent out, right? You are sent out to love the world in a way that fits you, right? You're uniquely shaped to make a contribution that fits your unique shape. Now, I don't know what you think about missionaries, but you are one, right? In fact, let's push your comfort zone. Turn to the person next to you, shake their hand, and say, "You're a missionary." I mean, seriously, do it. You're sitting by yourself. You're a missionary. Actually, it was, but... Okay, thanks for doing that. Now, if that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, I mean, if the word church has baggage, word missionary certainly has baggage because there, a lot of people have taken the name missionary and done some things that maybe weren't so wonderful in our world, but right, you don't have to call yourself a missionary. You don't even have to think of yourself as one, but you do have a mission. You are sent out. There's no exception for that. Everybody on this planet is sent out in that sort of way to do that. Now, you need to be loving the world. So, like what? Like what is your mission? You know, what are these missions? Well, the truth is there are hundreds of possible missions for each and every one of us and every person on the planet. So there's like impossible to begin to name them, right? There's far too many to name. But I can talk about what at least I understand our mission in the world to be, because it is a specific thing. I mean, it's a specific sort of thing in our lives. It's not just something that we casually I kind of have one or kind of don't have one. No, it's a really specific thing. So four things about that I think are true about our mission in the world is, one, you're passionate about it, right? You're passionate about it. I mean, this is important to you. You care. It motivates you. You get energy around this. We've all got that stuff, right? The next is, you're committed to it. Now, this is kind of the push comes to shove here, right? I mean, it's easy to be passionate about something and not do anything about it. That's, you know, I think we're all good at that. But we're actually committed to it as well. And then you are, at least somewhat, systematic in working towards it. You all heard the phrase, random acts of kindness? You know, I'm all for random acts of kindness, but that's not what this is. This is systematic acts of kindness, all right? So do the random ones, but get a mission, do your systematic acts of kindness as well. And then the last is, you are making the world a better place through it in small and big ways. Or at least you're trying to. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it falls apart or we realize that we were not on track. But you're trying to make the world a better place through it, whether it's in a big or a small way. And that's kind of it. Now, your mission might be something that's built into your profession, into your career, your job. It might be something you're doing schooling about, or it might be an avocation of yours. It might be grand and system changing. It might be quiet behind the scenes, something no one really sees. They change over time. It might be something that just I'm doing for this little season of my life, or it might be something that spans your whole lifetime, really. And there are probably lots of them in there. So what's your mission? I asked a bunch of people what theirs were, and I got these responses. Let's see this.
My name is Michaela, and a mission of mine, which brought me to grad school and to my current career path, is the world of microfinance and community development finance. It's an industry that seeks to make financial products and services more accessible, equitable, and inclusive for historically underserved and underestimated communities. And that's a mission that I'm committed to.
My mission? I've gone from being a small group leader when there was an opening to facilitating a New South High School athletic complex, to co-chairing the world's best workforce with the Minneapolis Public Schools, and now also co-chairing a new Braver Angels Alliance for the greater Minneapolis area. Praying for it and the opportunities will find you. I didn't ask for any of these, except by praying to be open for God to help me be aware and to say yes. And if I am going for a walk and I see a piece of garbage, I do pick it up, or I feel very guilty.
Hi, I'm Jenny Lillahai, and I'm really passionate about justice, creating inclusive spaces for others, lifelong learning and growth, and living intentionally and walking humbly with those around me.
When Felix and I were married 15 years ago, we had a consultation with a lawyer who told us that the United States government does not see him as worthy of legally residing in the United States. They told us at that time that the only way through this problem is by rolling up our sleeves and changing the law. So my mission as the president of American Families United now 15 years later is to do just that. We build up influence with the community of people in the organization, and we apply it in Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill, to get the law changed. And my fight and my mission is not only for my little family, but for over 2 million other families in the United States who are struggling with the same issues as us.
Hi, I'm Laureen Harbert, and my mission in the world is around creating connections and community. And I do that most passionately in the area of reproductive justice. So ensuring that marginalized folks, those seeking abortions, those in the adoption community, those with gender expansive identities are supported and provided with the community and the care that they need.
My name is Adam Johnson, and my mission is to work with others to make the world more equitable and to provide more opportunities for young people.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I wanted to share something that I'm really passionate about in the world right now, and that is mentoring young female athletes through coaching team sports, youth sports. I love doing this because it helps kids develop a sense of purpose in working towards something that's greater than just themselves. And it also helps them feel strong, fast, powerful, and committed while they're doing it. And it feels good to be working towards something that's not just about you. And I even found a way to make this a job when I work as a physical therapist, even though I don't only see young female athletes, but it tends to be some of the most fun population that I get to work with. So go find something that you want to do that makes you feel that way too.
That was a great. Just a sampling from among this community, and I would like for them to be able to tell some more of their stories about exactly where they're doing it, because this isn't, you know, just like philosophical, theoretical ideas. They all have found very particular places where they are exercising right now, which they might change, and probably true for each of us. If you're interested in some of it, I mean, like Adam Johnson, what you heard him say, but you saw his paintings behind. He didn't even mention the fact that he's been making these paintings that are everywhere in the world right now, helping issues of racial justice and so on. So there's ways to plug in with them about all that. That's just a sample from among the millions. And, you know, what's yours? Like some of those who just spoke, you can and probably do have more than one, and that's great. Can you say your mission in the world in a sentence? I think that's an important challenge. Not because of the one sentence. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but the fact that you can actually say, this is what it is that I'm passionate and I'm committed to, because how can you really be committed to it? How can you be systematic about it if you can't say what it is? I think that's the important part of the precision there. And, you know, I mentioned those words, passionate and committed and systematic. The world needs your gifts pouring into it so that it can be stronger and develop its own gifts and be a better place for you to continue to grow and thrive and develop your gifts and share them back with the world and help us all continue to grow and thrive that way. So, two last things about this M of mission of our M&Ms. Two important things that I want us to catch before we go away. And that the first is that Fabric, as an organization, is a launch pad for your mission. It is not a bottleneck for your mission, okay? Now, what does that mean? You may have noticed that if you've looked into our website or been around, that we have no mission partners, like lots of churches have long lists of mission partners. The truth is, we have an enormous number of mission partners. You heard those seven people just talk. Those places that they're involved, those are Fabric's mission partners. Each of you represent different mission partners that we have. What we don't do is institutionalize our mission partners. We don't put together a bunch of, say, this is where Fabric does in the world, And you can do it or not do it, or you can help us or not help us, but you can always say, well, my church does that for me. No, that's not what church is, right? Church is you. What you are doing, that is it. What you are passionate about, what you are systematically committed to, that's important. Now, these people, when they go, when Lorene goes and volunteers at a clinic, she probably isn't wearing a Fabric t-shirt because it's not important, is it? We don't need our name attached. Fabric as an organization does not need credit. What we need is for you to have a mission in the world. We need you to be loving the world. If you are there, Fabric is there. Done. All right? So we don't even need to know you're doing it, although it's really great if we do, because those stories need to be told. They inspire us. They give us ideas what we could do. You can ask me to come along with you because I'm looking for something to do, all right? And I'm trying to figure out what my mission in the world might be about. So those are really helpful things for us to be able to do. And that brings us to the second thing to know about this M of R M&Ms, and that is that it's not just about what you do, it's about what others do. And the point is this: you can value someone else's mission even if you don't share it, okay? Now, that sounds more innocuous than it probably is, but you can value someone else's mission even if you don't share it. You could put the word appreciate it there, you know, even if you don't appreciate what they're doing. Now, that gets back to the sort of contribution that you are shaped for. You are uniquely shaped for. In case you haven't noticed, we come in all kinds of sizes and shapes, and I'm not talking about height and weight. I'm talking about the different kinds of cloth that the kids are putting into their weavings right now and making each one look different, right? I mean, it would be kind of boring if they were all the same. We all have this tendency to think the things that I care about, the things that I'm important, are the things that everyone should care about and that everyone should think is important, and they should be championing like I do. And I'm sorry to break the news, but they don't, and they don't have to, all right? Break some other news to you. You are a really great person, each one of you, but one of you is enough, all right? We need you with your gifts, and we need them with their gifts. We need everyone to show up authentically as a person they are, because it's together that we make the whole that works and fits all the needs that we can have and need to have in our world. Some people are wired to do, you know, lobby for legislation, but they're not aware of that person two houses down who's having struggles staying in their house or keeping their medication straight. Then you got the other person who's so tuned in to their neighbors and helping out and doing all sorts of things, but they're not paying any attention to the news that's going on that has to affect their life and the people around them. I mean, not being shaped for some kinds of things in the world that some causes, issues, problems in the world that are really important. Not being shaped for it doesn't give you an excuse to not care about it or not be involved with it, but it acknowledges the fact that you can't do it all. All right? So keep an open heart. Pay attention. Be involved in places you can. Stretch yourself. But where are you passionately committed? Where are you shaped to make that difference? And that is why we are community. That's why we are togethering. We aren't loners. We are part of a larger fabric, and we are part of this fabric in particular. When church started, kind of like I was saying earlier, happening because of this tsunami of a movement that Jesus was creating in Israel at that time, they were pretty clear about how our varied gifts complete and don't compete with each other. Paul, who was one of the people trying to guide the movement 2,000 years ago as the church was trying to figure out what it could be like and how it should operate, he wrote this. Let me read this to you. For as in one body, and I should say, he uses a metaphor here, so I'm going to just swap the metaphor a little bit, see how it reads, okay? For as in one body, or you could say fabric, for as in one fabric we have many members, let's call them threads, so as in one fabric we have many threads, and not all the threads have the same function, have the same color, texture, so we who are many are one fabric in Christ. And individually we are threads woven one with another. We have gifts, we have characteristics, we have passions that differ according to the grace given to us. So value other people's missions in the world and don't judge them because they aren't passionate and committed to the same things you are. Maybe substitute curiosity for judgment. It's a good place to start. Maybe those people who are oriented so differently from you that you don't even understand why they're doing what they're doing, maybe they do have something to teach you. And maybe they have something to learn from you. So staying curious and staying connected is pretty important. That's like the tree, right? With its many systems, contributing to the growth of the tree, contributing to the world around it, creating that in and out that makes it all healthy. That's how it works. I'm sure the roots of a tree have very little understanding of those branches out there and why they're demanding all that stuff that the roots are trying to give them all the time. But we all know, right, that without each other, it's a no-go. Okay. As Dustin said, I'll be going on a sabbatical for 3 months after another week. You're not rid of me yet. But that is really an important time for us to understand what togethering is for us and how it works and what we want it to be about for our future. And our being fabric in the world is an important part of that togethering for us to figure out. So together, each in our own ways, doing what we can do, what we help do is we help shape the world to be what it can be rather than just simply accepting what it ends up being. And that's what this is all about. So find your mission. Talk to others about yours. Talk about the struggles of knowing what it is and how to do it and all that kind of stuff. Experiment, try things. Invite others to join you in on their missions or go along with them to see what theirs are about and what you can discover there. It's a challenge for all of us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.